I can give myself permission to go forward and pursue what I want to pursue. Is there a guarantee that everything's going to work out? No. But do I know that I'm going to pop right back on up and do something else? Yes. And I think my permission includes permission for me to discover.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hey, Reinvention Rebels. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited to welcome you to episode 2 of season 2 of Reinvention Rebels. And I'm really excited about the interview I'm going to share with you today with my friend Natalie Wester, who is amazing, inspiring, 61 years young, and up to the coolest reinvention that you are going to just love. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I always like to take a minute at the beginning of an episode and just share a really brief review with you. And today I want to share one that's from Kelly Norsha, who was my guest on episode 1 of season 2, just a couple weeks ago, who is amazing as well and photographs women 50 plus in the most inspiring ways. So check that out. But what she wrote is refreshing and authentic. Wendy is like a breath of fresh air. Listening to her is like being with one of your girlfriends for an hour. Her conversations are easygoing, fun, and informative. I highly recommend. Thanks, Kelly. I really appreciate that. One of the reasons why I want to ask you to write a review, if you would be so kind, is because my goal with the podcast is to make it as easy as possible for women looking to reinvent themselves to find the podcast so they can get inspired. I share stories of women who have reinvented themselves in inspiring and badass ways. And when we hear those stories, we can see a part of ourselves. So it inspires us to get into action about our own life and what might be possible. It's just one of those things with the algorithms that when you have a few more reviews, it's easier for people to find the podcast. It's all still a mystery to me, but I think you get the idea. So I appreciate so much any review that you are happy to write about the podcast. On that note, and without any further ado, let's get down to meeting Natalie Wester. Elevating authenticity through storytelling, inspiring midlife women to give themselves permission to change the life they're living so they can live a life they love. This is the intriguing backdrop for my guest today, 61-year-young Natalie Wester. Natalie is a solo international traveler and blogger who retired before 60 to pursue her passions. That makes Natalie quite the reinvention rebel, boldly and unapologetically pursuing what lights her up and finding joy, humor, and adventure along the way. I can't wait to talk to her about this. But she's no stranger to reinvention. After 20 years leading teams, developing strategy, and achieving results in the field of public relations and marketing communications, she became a teacher in her 40s, leaving behind a comfy salary to be of service to others. But she wasn't just any teacher. With a passion for multicultural education and high achievement, Natalie shined. In the classroom, she consistently raised achievement among at-risk students using data-driven instruction and relationship-based motivation to drive student accountability and shared high expectations. She consistently grew student reading test achievement from more than 90% failure to nearly 90% mastery. That is fierce. Additionally, she used her strategic communication skills as an accomplished teacher leader and educator in multicultural classrooms, earning the Ohio Department of Education's Ohio Teacher of the Year Award. I call that an educational badass. That's where Natalie finds herself today. She launched her blog, The Hot Goddess, in 2019 to help midlife women see new possibilities. She is funny, self-reflective, and real, all rolled into one. And did I mention funny? A recent blog post titled, "The Healing Properties of Exercise, Laughter, and Hot Sex," got my attention. Seriously, how could it not? It's a fabulous, hysterical must-read. And then she embarked on a cool, kick-ass journey, traveling solo around the world among 7 countries for 70 days with only one carry-on bag as a nomad in training. OMG, I love this. Natalie is a kindred spirit, sharing a love of travel, good friends, and writing. Natalie Wester, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Wendy, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. And I love that introduction. Oh, I'm thinking, who's she talking about? Wow. Thank you.
Isn't that the best? I think that we all should be able to take in hearing how other people perceive us, think about us. I feel like so often we're like, oh, no, me, no, not me. But I think it's awesome. And I just watching you, how you were just like listening and soaking it up. And that makes me so happy. So I want to tell our listeners about how we met. Okay. And this is a story that many of you have heard before, because I am meeting more and more of my guests on Instagram, where there are amazing midlife and older women doing the coolest things. And I came across Natalie's profile and it looks so interesting to me. I said, I want to know about this person. And then I started to learn about her blog and what she's up to and her travel adventures, and thought she would be an ideal guest to have on the show. So I'm really excited that you're here. And as you probably can imagine, Natalie, I have a whole lot of questions to ask you, because you have all kinds of adventure going on in your life and reinvention. I would love to start our conversation. I want to know how you reinvented yourself from a marketing and communications expert to a teacher. This seems like a pretty dramatic change, especially in your 40s. What inspired this reinvention?
So you're right. There have been many different changes in my life. That particular decision to go from marketing communications, and I left a firm as vice president, left and started my own little company for 14 years. And I was a mom, and my son was diagnosed with dyslexia, and I wanted to figure out how I could best help him at home. And I was learning more and more about dyslexia, and thought I need to learn more about how children learn to read. And I thought about going back to school, just studying reading and reading curriculum and theory. And I thought, well, no, I'm 44 years old, almost 45. I can't. Nah. And then I thought, you know what? I am going to, because I want to know what I need to know as a mom, and also as an advocate for my son, going to these meetings, IEP meetings, talking with intervention specialists. And it's very overwhelming. Anyone who has sat through that in a public school, you're at a table and there's as many as 10 people around. And it can be overwhelming if you don't know what you need to know. So I just wanted to know so I would feel armed and ready. And next thing I know, I've graduated a second master's degree, and I was offered this a position as in a school system. And the HR director said, well, we have two possible jobs, a classroom teacher, third grade, or a reading specialist, small group. Like, ding, that's it. That's me. I'm not really, I think I have the patience for a whole bunch of children. I'm not sure if it's going to work. I don't know. And my friends were like, well, really? You're going to teach? Because, like, where? Like, how, what, how are you going to, that's going to be very interesting. We just don't see you and your personality. Anyway, I said, well, I'd love to be the small group reading specialist. And the HR director said, okay, well, I can't put that in writing now, but I'm 90% sure that's what it'll be. Are you okay with that? And I said, sure. So of course I got the letter in the mail saying, welcome our new third grade classroom teacher.
Yeah. Of course.
And so I taught the same school, starting third grade. And then when I retired, I was in second grade. And I did eventually transition to a second grade reading specialist, or reading teacher. So I taught all the second graders reading. So it still was never the small group situation. But that lasted 14 years, and I never set out for that to happen, but it just, that's how it happened.
It's amazing. It's funny how life is, that sometimes when we dip our toe in, thinking it might be one thing, that sometimes it's something completely different, but something that can be so life-changing. It feels to me like you created what I call a reinvention rebel mindset. You had this idea that you could reimagine your life in some way. And yes, at first, maybe you weren't sure and you kind of tested the waters, but then you realized this was kind of working and you really brought it to fruition. Because I know sometimes we kind of talk about things and we have these ideas, but we never quite make them happen. But here you said, I'm going to do something different. I want to do it for these reasons. And you actually did it. And then you became so successful. You became Teacher of the Year. How did that happen?
After just teaching for 4 years, I was nominated by my principal. And I really think every teacher is a Teacher of the Year. This is just one of those things where, oh, I was lucky enough to have a principal at that time who appreciated and wanted to give recognition. But there are so many more deserving teachers out there, and there's just nobody pushing their names forward. So every teacher is a Teacher of the Year as far as I'm concerned. But I was thrilled to be able to go to the White House and stand next to President Obama in the Oval Office. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And I never expected to be there.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Rebels are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey, with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes. Natalie, I'm really curious to know about what you've learned from this process of reinventing yourself. What are some of the most important takeaways?
For me, through my various reinventions, the takeaway is to stop listening to the voice in my own head, to get out of my own way and give myself permission. That sounds like, what do you mean? Like, you do what you want to do. But it was very hard. It was very hard. I have my own critic inside telling me why I should not do something, why something won't work, why I'm not qualified to do something. I'm not brave enough to do something. Yeah. I don't have whatever it takes to do the thing I'm thinking about. And that has been a struggle and continues really to be a struggle. Less so of one, but it's a daily reminder that I can give myself permission to go forward and pursue what I want to pursue. Is there a guarantee that everything's going to work out? No. Do I know that I'm going to pop right back on up and do something else? Yeah. Yes. So it's really the voice in my head. And I tell you, one thing that I have taken away from listening to your podcast and reading about women on Instagram is that the struggle for self-acceptance and believing in ourselves is universal. It's absolutely universal. And I don't think I really recognized that, the universality of all of us are kind of struggling with that. And knowing that is kind of empowering because it gives hope. Like, all right, well, yeah, there's some other badass women and they're feeling that way as well. And yet they're going forward. That's huge.
I think you're so right about that. That really is huge. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think that we do get validation from this tribe of amazing women that we're both a part of that are very empowering, because there are days, of course, that we feel great and we feel bold and very empowered, and other days, maybe not so much, right? And, you know, we do hear that critic in our head. Although I think as I've gotten older, it's gotten to be definitely smaller.
Yes.
As you're saying. And, right, it doesn't have to define us. But I like how you frame that around permission, because I think permission is one of those things that women, regardless of even what age we are, that we often don't give ourselves permission to do a lot of things, that we often play it safe, don't take a lot of risks, where a man might say, I'm going to go do X, and they don't even think twice about it.
Exactly.
Right? It's big and bold. They're like, and who's going to stop me? Where we're like, well, I guess I could try. So I think it's really powerful when we get to that age where we feel good about giving ourselves permission and we don't have to think twice about it. We just do it.
Right. And not even just permission to do something, but even to be happy. Just so many times we feel that everyone else comes before us and we don't really have the right to be quote unquote selfish enough to look out for our own happiness. And that's the main start right there is, yeah, it's okay. It's okay for me to be happy.
Exactly. And I know for a lot of women, though, that is really a revolutionary idea.
Isn't that sad, though?
Yeah, it is that. It is that. And so I guess, you know, but I think it's like a lot of things. How do we begin to shift that narrative? How can women begin to feel more empowered? Especially as we age and things change and, you know, we might have had beauty and that starts to fade or our body changes. So I think it's so important for us to figure out what will make us happy. Not necessarily somebody else, but us. So I really like your thoughts about that. I want to fast forward to several years later when you reinvented yourself again, not just one. And I know many of us have many reinventions, of course, over the course of our lives. That's not unusual. But I really want to know how it unfolded that, first of all, you've been able to retire at 60, because I know a lot of us are thinking, well, you know, it would be great to retire early, but I got to keep working so I have enough money for retirement. There's that push-pull thing. How were you able to retire at 60 and get down to pursuing your dreams? Because that's what a lot of us want to know. How did you do it, Miss Natalie?
Well, I tell you, I retired at 59 in June of 2019. I was inspired by a group of women that I'd met. So that's what made me decide to try and do it. And I just need to tell you how meaningful it was on this trip to New Orleans. And I met these various women and it was the universe telling me, and they were all sharing their different stories. And I thought, you know what? When I got on the plane back to Cleveland, I thought, all right, if I cut $1,000 a month off of my expenses, I think I can make this work. And so that's what I did. And you'd be surprised, as you get rid of cable, internet, you get rid of, I'm not going to the spa, I don't get my hair done, I'm not getting my manicure and pedicure done, I'm not getting my car washed, I'm not happy hours. Now, COVID has actually been very helpful in that regard.
Absolutely.
Saving a ton of money. But, you know, before that, it's nothing. You go out every day and you do a happy hour, you know, that $100 a week, that's $400 a month. So when I really started drilling down into expenses, I thought I can do this. And so I did. And I thought, what's the worst that could happen? I'll need to go back and work. And so that was June 2019. And then when I made the plan, I talked with my financial planner. We had not built anything in there at all for any kind of travel. Then I found out that I was getting a retirement incentive. And I didn't realize the amount of that, but I thought, you know what? I need to use that to fix my driveway. But instead, I want to travel. And that was giving myself permission, but it was also challenging myself, Wendy, because I'm not an adventurous person. I am like the play it safe person. Yeah, I really am.
It does not appear that way, Natalie. I just want to say, looking at all your pictures on Instagram, you look like a very adventurous person to me. God.
Everything is like teacher on a field trip. Okay, we got to have this and this and this, and we're all set and overplan and be and have no surprises. And just, yeah, that. And I am afraid of flying. I don't like heights. And I had never done it before. And so that was part of my reset, rewire is I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do it. And so I looked into it and this was not me solo with a group tour, a women's group or anything. This was just me planning everything.
Wow.
And it sounds like, yeah, okay, you are badass. But I will tell you, the night before I was to leave, I was bawling. Like, oh, what have I done? I mean, I can't do this. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
On the internet, how much money will I lose if I cancel now? But, you know, I mean, panic really, really did strike. So I'm not going to lie, I was terrified and I was crying. It's like, oh, what have I done? And I don't cry a lot, but I was panicked. And I thought I've made the biggest mistake. And so, you know, got myself together, had a little Jack Daniels, like, I'm good.
I can do this after all. Let's do this.
Well, I thought, well, all I need to do is get my first stop was Portugal. I just need to get to Portugal. And then, you know, I have some time there. I'll be okay. And Portugal is on my list because that's where I plan to relocate. So I plan on moving to Sesimbra, Portugal. It's a little fishing village on the coast, about 30 minutes south of Lisbon. I read about it. International Living says Portugal is last year it was the number one. I think it's gone down, but it's always a top spot. I want to be on the water. I don't want any hurricanes, girl. I don't want any tropical anything. I don't want any monsoon season. I don't want any rainy season. I want a nice climate on the water with no storms, evacuations, or any of that. And that's what you have right there.
Oh, my gosh. So
I know.
I have to say, too, that, you know, I really want to move to Portugal, too. So, you know, later on, you're going to have to tell me all about this.
Yeah. Come visit. Come.
Check it out. I am there. Well,
oh my God. I really fell in love with it. I really did. Lisbon is very diverse. Sesimbra, not as much, but it's so close to Lisbon that, you know, it'll be okay. So I thought, let's get to Portugal. Take a deep breath. Don't start thinking about all the other places and that you'll be coming back, you know, before at Christmas time. Just go. And I did okay. I had some moments that were difficult in Morocco and Egypt. They were a little intimidating for me, but I did okay. And
I would say so. Traveling by yourself to 7 countries for 70 days with one, first of all, we'll have to get back to the one carry-on suitcase in just a moment, because that's a whole nother story. But I one of the things I think that's interesting about what you said, once you had your meltdown, then you calmed down and said, okay, I can do this. Part of what I heard you do is that you shifted your mindset and you said, okay, just one step at a time. One step at a time. Let me just get to Portugal and I can reset. And I think it's that attitude, that mindset, that is everything about being a reinvention rebel. You know, however it is that someone is reinventing their life, when we can just say, well, I don't have all the answers. I can't figure it all out. But you know what? If I can step back and just take one small step, I don't have to do it all at once, just one small step. And that to me is like everything. To be able to move forward.
Exactly. Exactly. And then once, you know, you do that one step, then you're emboldened a little bit more and then you can just keep going. And I was fortunate that everything worked out. I mean, and I got back before COVID and I had no delays. It really worked out beautifully. So, and I know that doesn't always happen. So I was very lucky in that regard.
Hey, amazing listeners. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes.
So, Natalie, you went to 7 countries over 70 days. And I'm really curious, where did you go? And how did you even decide on where you were going to go in this huge world in which we live?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, when I say I traveled among 7 countries, so the United States, Portugal, Morocco, Egypt, Thailand, Indonesia, Japan, and then back to the US. And I actually had a list to start of 12 places. And then I looked at the money. I thought, no. And and I'll be gone 3.5 months, almost 4 months. And that seemed like a long time. So I narrowed it down to that. Bali in Indonesia wanted to go. And then Japan was just gorgeous to me. So those are the places. My only regret is that, and I know you've been, I didn't do Australia. And I was so close. But I had India on the list and oh my gosh, it was just all over.
I know. And that's the thing. It's such a huge world in which we live. There are so many amazing places I'd like to go. I've only started scratching the surface because when I was in my mid-30s when I went on my first solo trip to Australia and New Zealand. And it was such an adventure. But I really didn't understand that concept of backpacking. I was quote unquote backpacking, but I brought a backpack and a suitcase. Natalie, I had not mastered what you did, which is this notion that you talk about how you traveled for 70 days with one carry-on bag. So I want to know how you did that because so many of us, you know, we pack all this stuff. I will say I went to Spain a couple years ago and I did pack one carry-on bag, but that was only for 2 weeks. So how did you do this for 70 days? Days.
Oh my gosh. And so I had my carry-on and then my personal item was a small backpack. So I had those two things, but nothing cute in there. So there, my Instagram pictures, there's no cute, nothing. There's no flowing red gowns and no nothing. It is black t-shirt, gray t-shirt, white t-shirt, black leggings, khaki shorts. There's all this one family of stuff that could all be mixed and matched.
Yeah.
And I left in October and I'm going to places where it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And then in Japan, it was 32 degrees and it snowed a little bit. So it was a huge difference. I brought a jacket that had been my dad's. And I posted about that. It's a marmot Gore-Tex that was okay. And then a little fleece that I could put under it. So just the layering, but it still wasn't quite enough. When I got to Japan, I was cold. And so I bought a reversible quilted thing that's supposed to be a robe, on Japanese women, and I put it on and the guy was laughing because I'm 5'10". So on me, it was like a jacket with the sleeves up to here, but it was and warm. And people were like, oh my God, like, I know. I'm a giant. But so I had to buy that. But other than that, hair, that was my other thing. What about my hair? How am I going to get my, what am I going to do with my hair? And girl, I got a travel bottle of the foam wrap and put a bunch of the wrapping, the papers in a baggie. And I washed my hair and took planning because I had to make sure it was a sunny, hot day, and would wash my hair and then sit out in the sun to dry it. And I bought a travel mini flat iron that was international. So I didn't need to buy one of those expensive converters because it was an international thing. I needed an adapter, but I didn't need a converter. And then I would just curl my hair and, you know, but I mostly always had on a baseball cap. I bought a couple of straw hats. They were like a dollar. And I bought this, actually. I did end up buying in Bangkok and in Bali some dresses that were like $2. And some I left there because like, I don't, there's no place to put them. But but nothing cute. So like none of my travel pictures are beautiful. The landscapes and the scenery were just gorgeous. And I did the best I could to capture that beauty. But you know how you see, there's so many solo women travelers. Most of them are, you know, 20s, 30s, some 40s. But I have never traveled solo in my life. And for my first trip, this is what I do. And it was not cute. I mean,
it's hard.
I was not looking cute at all.
And, you know, it's definitely hard to get the cute look unless you have more stuff. I mean, you need to bring more stuff with you to achieve the cute look of some cute outfits to mix in with the more utilitarian. I'm out hiking or walking 10 miles today and I need comfy shoes. But, you know, on a trip like that, you aren't bringing cute heels.
No. Oh, no. No. I had tennis shoes and then a pair of Trotters comfort sandals. Girlfriend was not looking any kind of stylish at all.
I think that those things that used to be important to me, that would be much more important when I was younger. Like, I have to look cute. I have to look good. It's like now I just want to enjoy myself and I can, you know, I want to see things. I want to talk to people that live there. I want to experience the culture and the food, and I don't have to be all dressed up to do that.
Right.
So I think there's something to be said for that. And I just think it's freeing, this idea of traveling so lightly that you don't need to have all of this stuff. Because I feel like we're so weighed down in our lives generally with a lot of stuff.
Right. That's true.
So lightening up is so easy. And it was so easy when we were traveling in Spain and, you know, we got on and off like the train or the bus with just our little carry-on bag. And it was so easy when in the past I've traveled with all this crap.
Right. Well, and I tell you though, and I wrote that in one of the blog posts, that I made the bag too heavy. Like I packed a ton of stuff in there. But it was very, very heavy. So it was carry on. It fit all the dimensions, but it was really very heavy. And by the end, I have a little titanium screw in my shoulder that's holding my bicep into my shoulder socket. It was surgery about 2012. But by the end, I'm checking this bag because I'm tired of lifting it over there and I'm just done. So that, which kind of defeats the whole purpose, but for most of the trip, it was okay. It was very heavy. And I write, don't make your bag too heavy in travel and in life, because you're responsible for your own stuff and nobody's going to carry it but you. So lighten your load.
That really is fabulous. What are some of the biggest lessons you learned from traveling by yourself and going on this adventure? Even though I like to plan it out and have everything all lined up in a row perfectly. And, you know, of course, with travel, so many times that doesn't even happen. I mean, it just, the stars align for you, it sounds like. But what were some of the biggest lessons that you learned from this?
I guess a lesson, what I learned about myself is really that I am more capable than I thought in terms of navigating new places. You know, and I've always had like safe. And when faced with the unknown and, you know, there were no travel issues, but in each place I went, there were some different thing that would pop up. And for instance, Japan, and just not knowing the language at all and getting mixed up on the trains. And I thought this woman was telling me to go sit on the floor. And I'm thinking, is this a race thing? Like, what? And you know, when you're with someone, you would say, girl, did she just say go sit on the floor?
But you know to say that too.
And I'm like, who's she talking to? Did she tell me to go sit on the floor? And it took me a minute to figure out, I need to go find someone else to ask what do I need to do? Because there's no way I was going to be able to understand what she was saying. And it turned out she was not, I thought she was speaking in English and that's what she was telling me. She was speaking in Japanese, but it sounded like she was saying, go sit on the floor. And Wendy, I actually for a minute considered it. I looked around.
I was like, well, is there a clean spot around somewhere?
But then I found another, I actually went, it took me several tries, but I finally found someone. And then they explained that the train was not coming and that I needed to go to a completely different platform and take another train. So just little things like that, when normally just if you travel with someone, you can just, you know, bounce ideas back and forth. And what do you think? And just having to figure it out on my own, I always was afraid to do that for some reason. That sounds ridiculous, but I just didn't trust that I knew enough, you know, about a new place, and I always counted on like a partner, travel buddy, someone who had been there before and knew more than I did, was more sophisticated and had more experience. You've traveled, you know, all over. You were mentioning the countries, New Zealand. And so, you know, I wouldn't want to glob onto someone like you, like, okay, let's go. And then you're more experienced, but I had never done this before. And I just realizing that I was more resourceful and capable than I knew. And that felt really good. And then I was braver than I knew. That was really good. And then, so those things about myself, but then just globally, learning to keep an open mind to other people's stories and what they're going through. And that was very empowering. Women I met, men I met, talking to children from all over the world, it meant a lot to be able to just sit and listen and keep my mind open. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that sometimes I'll make judgments. I'll make a judgment about somebody based on whatever, or an assumption. Sometimes it's my own self-talk and I'll be taking something personally and think and make a judgment about someone. But learning to get out of myself, open up my mind, open up my heart, and just hear other people's stories, that was huge for me as well. And it kind of changed the way I do things a little bit here back at home. Like one of my blog posts is about how it changed my approach to dating, lowering expectations, not lowering, not having any expectations, just not having a list of must-dos, not having preconceived notions about someone, and just being open and listening and making it all about understanding each other's commonalities and hearing each other's stories. That works really well in the dating world as well.
That does. And I think that's true whether you're traveling or dating, there's something powerful about, one, this idea of listening to people. Like what I heard you say is you really were listening. You met all these people on your trip and you really listened to them and you saw something different, things you didn't know. You learn so much about yourself and other people. And this notion of opening our heart, I think, is so powerful because it's easy for any of us to have a closed, sort of hardened heart just because we live in a complex, difficult, often, especially these days, chaotic world, all of us are quick to judge. And we all have to figure out, how can we open our heart? How can we listen more? How can I maybe not be so quick to judge someone? And so I think that's such a powerful lesson that you know, I think that's what the beauty of travel, that it expands our horizons literally and figuratively about, you know, both, you know, where we go and in our minds about what could be possible. Because I love how you've applied that now to, I'm back, but I still have this more expansive mindset. And I think that that's something that's, like, to me, is such a powerful way to grow, especially as we age, where sometimes we're, you know, so you say, oh, older people, they're set in their ways, you know, so-and-so just, you know, always does the same thing. But so I think something about when you travel, you really shake that up if you're open to it, as you have. And that's just so cool.
Thank you. But you never, when you start putting that one foot ahead, you're not really sure what you were, or at least I wasn't really sure what we're going to find. So this has been a happy surprise. And I try to keep going back to that feeling and that same mindset that I had when I was traveling. I was telling someone, I'm trying to live the way I travel, just minimal belongings, walking mostly everywhere, and just buying what I need and putting it in my backpack or in a tote and walking. So that's what I did when I was traveling, and just try to live a smaller, simpler life, which also works because I don't have any money. So, so that's working out really well. Just simple and minimal. That so far it's working. It's working for me. I think there's an expectation, or people are like, so what are you doing? So, you know, what's your purpose now? And what's your passion? And what are you doing? And I think my permission includes permission for me to discover all my different passions and my different purposes, the things that I want to do. And that's okay. I don't need to put a label on that. And so I am enjoying taking so many different classes and writing the blog, which I started because of a class and didn't have the courage to put the next foot in front and press publish for 5 weeks. And then I finally, or more, actually 6 weeks or more, pushed the publish button. So that was a step. And I'm
that's
not a
big
social media person. I started Instagram just for friends and family because they said, we need to know if you're not dead. So can you start Instagram while you're traveling and just post pictures? And then we know if the pictures stop, you're probably dead. So
I like that though. You know, they care. They care. They're like, please.
Yes.
We need to know. I like
we
that.
Know. So that's the only, and I'm not on Facebook. I don't, not Twitter. We've had a seminar on using Twitter for teaching. And I'm like, that was my vibrator's name back in the 80s. So that's just not me. I don't do that.
Right.
And I've been kind of private and stuff. So this is all of this, these one step, is new. And so pushing publish on the blog after I'd written maybe 4 or 5 entries for the class, but not let anybody see them. And then it went out there. That was very frightening to me.
I can imagine.
So I've got a good response. So that's fine. And that's been encouraging. And people said, oh, you should write a book. And I actually am working on a memoir. And so that's what I'm doing, taking classes and writing, doing a coding class. And I think, and then the blog has really, that it has turned into a little bit of a passion project. I'm a goofball, so I have to have my, you know, fun Friday post, and then I try and be a little more serious on Motivation Monday, but that doesn't always work either. So
I love it. I love it. Well, one of the things I love about the blog is that it's funny. You're very authentic. You talk about, you know, you in that sort of self-deprecating way that's still very real and feels really authentic. And I just I don't know, like your writing style, I kind of feel like I'm right there with you, and so many things I can relate to. And I think that that is so key when you're connecting with people. When you have the ability to do that, I feel like you can then make a connection with people, which apparently you are, because I've been reading some of your posts and see people commenting on them. So it tells me that you have a way to really touch people.
Thank you for saying that. And it's not at all what I thought would happen. And it has been very encouraging to see the comments and the messages, the DMs that I get as well. Like, oh, wow, that's really awesome. I can't believe. And then Wendy is asking me to be on Reinvention Rebels. Like, what? Oh, my gosh. And it's really been amazing.
Yeah. It makes me think that sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. And we often think very small because we're thinking, well, why would someone be interested in what I have to say? Why would they listen or read? And it's interesting, though, because sometimes we have these low expectations and people have a totally different response. They're like, I love this. Like, I want more of this. Tell me more. Why didn't you do this sooner? And so I think that when we get that feedback, I think it's really important to really listen to that, especially as we're aging and we're kind of trying to figure things out and we're exploring new things. Those are often sometimes signs that are leading us or helping us kind of figure things out. And here you are, an excellent, engaging writer. And I can see you writing a memoir. I can see how interesting that would be. I would love to hear the story about how you made this decision to change your life and how you realized you don't need to have all this stuff.
Right.
And that you can live on less.
There's more that needs to be gotten rid of as well. So, and it's freeing.
It is totally freeing.
Hey, amazing listeners. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes.
I know that there are many women, older women, midlife women, older women, whether you're in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, and I also mentioned younger women too, because I know there's a lot of younger women that are even like 50 and above that listen to Reinvention Rebels. But I know that many women are eager to reinvent themselves in some way, but they really don't know where to begin. As someone who I think is a seasoned reinvention rebel, because you've done it many times and you've had all these great epiphanies and things you've learned about that, where would you suggest someone starts? A woman who wants to explore something new, maybe she's around your age. What would you suggest she do to start looking at what might be possible?
What makes her happy? That's what I did. I was not happy. I realized after 14 years of teaching, like, I'm not happy and I need to make a change. And that's saying nothing about teaching and all the wonderful people who are teachers. But there was something with me that, like, I need to do something different. And giving myself permission to be happy, like, I'm going to quit. And hearing the stories of these other women who did all of these, changed their lives. And they just happened to, I met two women at a bar, one woman out at a jazz club. They just happened to fall into, you know, they intersected with my life for a reason. And I had to figure out what I needed to do to make me happy. And that was to retire. Before that, it was, you know, what I needed to do so I could to be happy as a mom who knew about how to help my son. But it always, and then before that it was, okay, now I'm going to change from fashion to journalism to PR. And it all started with what's going to make me happy. And I think if you don't know that, then you don't know where to put your foot for that first step.
That makes so much sense. And going back to our earlier conversation, when we were talking about so many women don't know how to be happy or don't give themselves permission to be happy. I think for some women, it's a bold step to ask myself, what would make me happy? What seems like a very simple question, it is deeply profound for so many people, and especially for women who, as you said earlier, have been taking care of everybody else.
Right.
Kids, spouse, parents, or you know, your job, whatever it is that we're doing, often in service of others. So often for very good reasons, often at the expense of ourselves. So this, to me, can be a really revolutionary question. What would make me happy?
And the answer is not easy. I mean, it sounds like it would be, but at least it's not. It's not, because we're not used to thinking that way. We're used to thinking about what is going to make everybody else happy, but we're not used to thinking that way. And so we probably don't know. And my first happy point was to not be doing what I was doing anymore and to retire. There's still other happy points along the way, and I'm discovering those and what I'm really enjoying doing. But that was key. And I don't know that I would have made that decision if I had not heard the stories, you know, of the three women. The woman who was a music teacher who had retired and started selling high-end office furniture, and she didn't know anything about office furniture, and a friend suggested it. She said, "I don't know." And then she said, "Okay." And she did it. And she was there with her little handsome beau that she met while selling furniture to the company he owned.
Huh.
And she said, "Oh, honey, you should try it." Her name was June. She said, "Honey, you should try it. And you would be great." Because I just started talking to her at the bar. I was commenting on her hair and nails and everything. And she went in her purse to get a business card and didn't have one. So she pulled out her checkbook and tore off a deposit slip and handed it to me. She said, here, hon, my information's all on here. I thought, wow. So is your bank account number and everything else. That's how y'all do it down south. She was from North Carolina. So like, okay. And, you know, then I met a younger woman, a single mom from Chicago, and her passion project was booking these jazz and blues acts. And she had a dog walking business to, along with her other full-time job, to supplement that passion. And that's why she was in New Orleans, because she had booked a band. And I'm like, oh, wow. And she was younger. Then I met another woman who was a teacher, and she was in New Orleans because she was renting her apartment out on Airbnb to make extra money, because she wanted to quit and be a writer. She wanted to write full time. And I thought, that's interesting. So you must be getting a lot of money if you can afford to take a trip to New Orleans to vacate your apartment in order to rent it. So that's pretty, let me think about that. So just hearing like these are, and they were all very different women, all very different ages, different backgrounds, everything. But it was so wonderful to hear these stories. And like I said, that got on the plane and thought, I can do this if I cut $1,000 off and then just live very simply.
And here you are. I think that's really fantastic. I love it. Part of what I heard you talking about was that you've really gotten to know yourself.
Yeah.
This self-awareness, which I think is the key. I think that's always the key when we're reinventing ourselves at any age, whether we're younger or we're a reinvention rebel, you know, we're 50 plus, that we have to really know ourselves, like you said before, what would make us happy. This idea of slowing down, reflecting, and really tuning in. For me, it has always been the key for myself. And I guess because I like to be really quiet and, you know, really, I feel like I get all this wisdom when I'm quiet and still that helps guide me. Just like you ran into these women who really set you on this path, who helped you see what's possible, that when we can begin to see those moments as just a little bit, you know, all just kind of helping us along on our path that maybe we don't even know we're on yet, but then we discover it.
Someone said to me, well, that's, you listened to, the universe was talking to you and you listened.
Yes. Which is everything.
It is everything. And like you said, you need to be still and be able to receive that a little bit, I guess, and be in that right frame of mind. And, you know, you talk about reflecting and reimagining and restarting, and that reflecting piece, the catalyst for that, and for figuring out what makes me happy was loss. So the death of my father and the ending of a long-term relationship. And that all happened in 2018. And then I went to New Orleans at the end of that year and decided I'm retiring in 2019. I'll be done. But the catalyst for all that reflecting and just kind of you have loss and sadness,
yeah,
and that puts you in a place where, okay, your mind is ready now. Your mind is ready to figure this out and to make a change. And so that was the start of it. I didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm ready to figure out my happy place.
Right.
It started with the loss and then went from there.
Yeah. I know what you mean, because I do think that that can be such a big catalyst for any of us. And the loss can be, you know, however it might manifest for us, whether it's someone we love, or as you said, a relationship or a job ending.
Right.
Any of those things can be catalysts. And I often think that when those things happen, especially something like a job, I mean, where it might be unexpected. I mean, it could be the same thing with any of these circumstances. It could be unexpected. It's shocking. It is it's such a terrible feeling. But I think that if we can get on the other side of it, as you have done, and use that to really help you create all these amazing changes, that if we can kind of work through the most difficult parts on the other side, there can be new possibilities. You know, if we lose our job or we're downsized, that's often an opportunity. I know so many people for whom it was an opportunity to do something new that they then loved, which they wouldn't have done if they hadn't lost that job. So I try to think about it. I try to wax philosophical when I can about these things that often feel terrible, right? When they happen, like what, why, or why me, or, you know, that kind of thing. So, but I always feel like everything happens for a reason.
It does. And even though we may not recognize it at the time, we usually don't, that it really does happen for a reason. So it's been fun and frightening at the same time.
Yes.
Figuring out myself, understanding myself better, seeing what I like and the things that I want to try to do. I'm putting the finishing touches on a proposal for an internship at a bourbon distillery.
Oh, stop.
Yes. Yes. I think.
See, this is what I love. See, this is a reinvention rebel, Natalie. Okay. This is someone who is like, these are the things I'd like to do. Let me figure out how I can do them. And I love this idea of you being an intern. I think, right?
And I said, well, how can they say no? It'll be free. You don't have to pay me. I'll wash the stills, whatever. Because they have classes. There's actually a Moonshine University in Kentucky. Yes. And I thought about doing that. And I thought, well, the whole course is like $6,000. No. And then they have a little weekend thing for $500 and you learn to sniff bourbon. I can do that. That's a weekend thing. I do that here. So I want to really learn. I thought, you know what? There are distilleries here. So I'm just finishing up my proposal to be a distillery badass intern.
I think that's fascinating. And that is quintessentially what a reinvention rebel does, right? They kind of figure out what inspires them. They're really curious. They have courage. You talked about your bravery just traveling by yourself. I mean, this to me is what a reinvention rebel does. And sometimes we don't know the answer. Sometimes it's really scary. Sometimes we're just figuring it out as we go, but that's how life is, right? If we're open to it, then as you mentioned, all these new possibilities opened up. So Natalie, as we wrap up, I'd love for you to tell me anything you'd like to share with the audience about how women can unapologetically take bold action to move their life forward. What advice do you have for a reinvention rebel in training?
Oh my gosh. I keep coming back to the same thing about giving yourself permission. You have to start there. And once you've given yourself permission to be happy, figure out what makes you happy, and to go forward, then do it one step at a time. Be okay if you stumble, you might step in a rut, whatever, but you're going to get back up if you trip, and you're just going to keep putting one step in front of the other. And it'll change. Mine's changing.
Yes.
As we speak.
Yes.
I didn't plan. I didn't know I was going to do a blog and write a memoir. And I knew I wanted to write, but that's not what I had in mind. I knew I wanted to learn about distilling and spirits, but I just decided, hey, let's propose that and see what happens. And nothing may happen, but just giving yourself permission to put one foot in front of the other in your search for what makes you happy, to be okay with not knowing the answer, to be okay with leaving yourself open to discovery. And that's hard too, because people say, well, what are you doing? What are you? I thought, well, okay, I haven't started a company yet. I haven't launched a service or a product yet, but I'm pursuing all of these different things and in the process figuring out what's bringing me joy. And that is huge for me, to just give myself permission to be comfortable with discovery and not knowing and not putting a label on it, at least not right now.
I think that sounds pretty amazing. In a world in which people like to label everything, it's I think it's significant to say, I'm okay with not having to label where I am, what I'm doing. I am figuring it all out and it's okay. And that alone, if women that are kind of trying to figure it out can just hear that message, it's okay not to know all the answers. It's okay to just say, I'm figuring it out.
Yes.
It's okay if people look at me like, what's wrong with you? And I say, absolutely nothing. This is my journey. It's my journey. Your journey is different than my journey.
Exactly. Exactly, Wendy.
So just claiming it. I know that people, when they're listening to this, now that we've talked about all these adventures you've been on, how you are reimagining your life in these really bold, juicy, textured, really interesting ways. And you have this amazing blog that is just delightful. So the question really is, Natalie, where can people find you? Where can people find you if they want to follow you, read your blog?
Thank you. So on Instagram, I am Retired Rewired Inspired.
I love that.
Yes. At Retired_Rewired_Inspired. And that's where I am. And my blog is thehotgoddess.com, all one word. And it is not, as I had to clarify about all of my hot sex adventures. The hot is the hot flashes of a 61-year-old woman wondering, when is postmenopause kicking in? But there's a little bit of hot sex mentioned in there, and the vibrating panties and all of that.
Yes. Which you're all going to have to check out, because it is a great post. You need to read this, ladies.
The other big thing is to remember that as we age, I call it my NGAF, the not giving a fuck levels. Those NGAF levels get bigger and higher and stronger the older you get. So that makes things a lot easier as well.
Yeah. So true. And there's so much freedom in that.
Yeah.
It is very emancipating.
Yes, indeed.
I love it. I love it. Well, and I will put in the show notes, you'll see the places where you can find Natalie. You'll see those listed so people can easily click on the links and go right to your site or to your Instagram page. I have to say, Natalie, this has been such a pleasure and joy to talk to you and have you on the podcast and hear about your reimagine life, your Reinvention Rebel life. It's been just awesome.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so honored and humbled. You have such a wonderful lineup of impressive guests. So thank you so much for asking me to be a part of your podcast, which I love. Thank you.
Hey, amazing listener. Are you ready for a dose of pro-age inspiration delivered to your inbox? Pop over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. I share motivation, insights, and articles about how you can become a pro-age reinvention rebel too. Come join us. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.